Hey, can I talk to you? Over 25 years ago, on September 29th, 1998, we watched a brainy girl with curly hair drop everything to follow a guy she only kind of knew all the way to college. And so began Felicity. My name is Juliette Littman, and I'm a Felicity superfan. Join me, Amanda Foreman, who you may know better as Megan, the roommate, and Greg Grunberg, who you may also know as Sean Blunberg, as the three of us revisit our favorite moments from the show and talk to the people who helped shape it. Listen now to Dear Felicity on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Welcome to Food News. I'm Juliette Littman.
And I'm David Jacoby.
Let's put 30 minutes on the clock.
30 minutes.
If you'd like to be a part of this podcast, give us a call at 646-STEW-138. That's 789. That's not the number. 783-9138. 646-STEW-138. I was thinking to myself, I have no idea what the actual numbers are.
And so you did do a great job explaining it to the audience.
Happy to see it in the doc. All right. It's Fast Food News Week on Ye Olde Podcast. Let's get into it. First of all, do you think that eating at Costco counts as fast food?
No.
Okay. Well, then I lied. It's not only Fast Food Week. It's not how we're starting.
Yeah, there's some non-fast food stories I'm excited about as well.
Costco will be cracking down on who can eat at Costco. But there's a sign at a location in Orlando saying that only members can eat from the food court. And I guess it's some Costcos. They have outdoor food courts, like in warm places, like in Orlando.
And Los Angeles, where I had most of my Costco experiences.
Oh, interesting. Is that outdoors, too? So if you have been a non-member eating your $1.50 hot dog at Costco.
Hot dog and soda.
Your time may be up. Very upsetting. For those people who are doing that.
Were you a Costco person?
No. Your wife gave me a card, and that was how I had access. And I went, like, twice.
I was a huge Costco person during our Los Angeles days, which is where we formed this podcast and this wonderful relationship.
We sure did.
And I enjoyed everything about the Costco experience so much. But I didn't really use the food court that much.
Me neither.
The prices are supposedly excellent, and as we've documented on this podcast, the prices are so good as like an enticement to visit the location to go inside to then spend more money where
sure.
They get the profit. Like, they don't make a lot of profit on the food. But one thing I found interesting about this particular story is it was locations around office buildings and construction sites, mm-hmm. And that made a lot of sense to me.
A quick, fast meal. Just grab your hot dog and go. Grab your pizza and go.
Exactly. Like, if you work around it, just walk over there, grab your thing, great deal, eat it, go back. So that made a lot of sense to me, especially the outdoor ones as well, because to get into Costco, you have to flash your card.
I didn't know they had this outdoor thing. I've never seen that before. I've seen, like, the pizza pickup window, but I've never seen the outdoor food court. So,
food court is a bit of a stretch.
It's cafeteria?
More like a Nathan's hot dog.
Like a window?
Yeah, there's like a marquee with the menu, and then you walk up to the window and you ask for your stuff. It's like one of those, kind of like
sure.
A concession stand at a stadium or an arena.
Right, that makes sense.
It's more like that, yeah.
I just didn't know they had that outside. Like I was saying, I've only seen the pizza pickup, so... Tough beat for these people. Part of one of the articles that we were reading up on said that there's like someone in it, the guy who used to be the CFO. Actually, this was really funny. The FoxBusiness.com, their article, talked to like the former CEO to get a quote about this.
Well, it was the CFO, but I got the feeling that he gave the quotes and then left the company.
I guess
that
so.
Was the vibes that I got. Because like, I was like, why is he giving all these quotes and doing this interview if he doesn't work there anymore? But I got the idea that he's recently left the company, and that is why previously he did the interview for this.
It's just such a weird thing with the timing. I don't really get it. But anyway, he was saying that in general, only people with cards can purchase things at Costco, like, and that should apply to this food. But that's actually not true because you can order Costco on Instacart. And so anyone can get Costco.
Oh, interesting.
If it's near you.
Oh, yeah. Look at you with the workaround.
So I haven't done that. Like, in New York, there's no room for bulk. So at least I don't have it.
There is a Costco not too far from where you live in Industry City.
I know. I never go to it because I don't have room to store all of it. Like, where's that stuff going to go?
Yeah, that's a great point.
So,
yeah. It's, now I've got 50 toilet paper rolls.
Yeah. I'm like,
yeah, I'm going to use them all, but like, I don't have nowhere to put them.
In the meantime, that's just like,
yeah, there's, in
is
my
that
living
my coffee
room.
Table?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So, but if you do want to get Costco and you're not a member, that's how you can do it. Just a tip, you know? Something to keep in mind. All right, let's move on to more lunch news. Trader Joe's is testing a new concept on 14th Street here in New York, where they had the original wine shop. It was a really big deal when that opened.
Yeah.
It then suddenly closed in the summer of 2022.
15 years that thing was in business.
Yeah.
Part of the community.
It was such a big deal. The lines used to be so long.
Yeah.
They took that space, and it is now like the convenience store version of Trader Joe's to just go and grab your lunch and avoid the lines of people who are like doing their big grocery shop. And it's hard to believe this is only happening now.
Yes. And also, it seemed like when I first read it, I was like, oh, they're basically making like a prêt à manger. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
We made some salads, we made some sandwiches, grab a drink, here's your quick lunch, right? But it seemed to be much more involved than that.
Well, they're already making those things. Like, they already have that in the store. They're just now making them accessible without having to wait on the line. So it's a new organization, but no new products.
But they had some frozen foods. They had some, like, yogurts. It wasn't just as simple as, like, grab your lunch and go. It was sort of like a Trader Joe. Like Trader Josito's. It was like, well, like a miniature version that you can get in and get out.
But it's just like all about the access, right? Because
yes.
Again, it's like they're reorganizing what they have so that you don't have to go as deep or like, you know, they should have self-checkout in that part. Duh.
Yes, they should.
Obviously. But it's like, it's just because they're not actually doing anything new here. I'm like, how did this not happen already?
Do you
already?
Know what it is?
What?
It's just the physical manifestation of the express lane.
Yeah,
it's,
exactly.
It's all it is. It's just like, it's like you're not here to really grocery shop. You want to get in and out quickly and you don't want to wait in the line. All it is just like, it's basically, let's just call it Trader Joe's express lane place.
Yeah, it's Whole Foods needs this too, because this is my issue when I go there to get like a small snack in between meetings, and then I have to wait online at everyone doing their grocery shopping, and it's going way
I've
too slow.
I've seen you on a 30-person line waiting for an empty water bottle purchase.
Exactly. It just takes too long. I can't have that, so I need everyone to do this.
This is a great idea.
It really is, and I hope it spreads, and also like I'm happy for these lunch people. It sounds like a huge life upgrade.
Yeah, it does.
It was just these three women who like were so happy about it.
I saw them too. Yeah.
I'm just really happy for them. Okay, moving on to some Chick-fil-A news. Like a lot of things are happening in Chick-fil-A. They're testing shit out and bringing back some old stuff, which is, I didn't know this about Chick-fil-A, but I guess a long time ago, like in 2012, I believe, They proclaimed that they would not use any chicken that had antibiotics of any kind. And that was like a big movement in the chicken industry for a while. However,
yes.
They have walked that back, and they are now having chicken that have had antibiotics, but nothing that is essential to humans. Like, they're not chickens that have, like, amoxicillin will not be part of your Chick-fil-A. And I think this is a pretty slippery slope.
Yeah.
And it made me rethink a lot of my own chicken consumption.
Yes, and when you started reading about it, it definitely felt like this was, like, the Trojan horse of like what they're trying to do with the chicken that goes on your plate. It's like, hey, look, we just want to protect the chickens. We don't want chickens to die. Like, we're just trying to be nice. This is something, a necessary thing that we have to do. And next thing you know, it's just all like lab grown meat that never had feet.
Yeah, it's it doesn't sound great. Also, like, just like on that note, lab grown meat would like be better than having like antibiotics filled chicken. But I actually didn't realize that the issue is that if you have like antibiotics that you would get from the doctor in your chicken, you have like a growing resistance to it. And so then you like won't be an effective treatment for you. So like if you have strep throat, for example, like amoxicillin wouldn't work. And so that's why the human thing is so relevant. I didn't realize that until I read this really good Washington Post article, which also pointed out that Tyson, who makes like a lot of the chicken for
Mike Tyson,
not him, but maybe he's related. Who knows?
Okay. Yes.
Tyson used to have a no antibiotics ever label on some of his chicken, and they changed it last year to a less restrictive rule that is called the NAIHM label. And I'm like, if those are all of the letters, I don't think people are keeping up.
No antibiotics.
important to human medicine.
Important to human medicine?
So that's the line. No antibiotics, important to human medicine. That's what they're saying they won't do. But like, how do you know what's important to human medicine?
What's important to human medicine changes
all the time.
All the time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And like, if there's another pandemic or something, which there probably will be.
Duh.
Like, how does that change the NAIHM protocol? Like, I'm not feeling great about this.
Me neither.
I just like, do I have to give up chicken from most places unless I know exactly that it's no antibiotics
chicken
ever?
Chicken is delicious.
I actually don't like it, but that much, but it's like
you
a go-to.
Don't like chicken that much. We've talked about this.
Yeah. Like I'm like, I accept it, but I'm not that into it. Like I'm not like excited about it ever.
Really?
Except at Kitchenette. I mean, sorry, at French Jet.
What about like
Tribeca has the best roast chicken of all time.
Charles pan fried chicken?
No.
Wow.
Not for me. There's a lot more Chick-fil-A news. I was just like, that just like came to my consciousness this week. Can I tell you about it?
I'd love to hear about it.
Okay. For you and producer Mike, there's a new Chick-fil-A concept coming to the Upper East Side on 2nd Avenue and 79th Street to take out only Chick-fil-A.
This should be all Chick-fil-A's.
Well, I realize that I've never been inside a Chick-fil-A. I've had
what?
Chick-fil-A, but I've always picked it up. Like in LA, we used to get it at Grantland.
Yeah.
But I've never like been inside one because this article was like, you'll still get the same hospitality you come to expect for Chick-fil-A. And I'm like, is that an expectation from Chick-fil-A?
Well, I think a Manhattan Chick-fil-A, and I'm going to group it in with like Popeyes, is a very different experience than in other cities where you like drive to the Chick-fil-A, park, go inside,
have an experience,
sit down and eat, have an experience, then get back in your car and go away. But in Manhattan or in the five boroughs, every Chick-fil-A or Popeyes or fast food for that matter should be, don't sit in here. Just go.
Yeah, you just take it and leave. I feel like LA is similar. Like, that also should be like well, the drive-thru scene there is really, like, what keeps fast food alive.
Yes.
But so I guess they already do have that. But anyway, they're testing it in New York.
That's
and
exciting.
Then if it's successful, I guess they'll bring it to other places. And then Atlanta is going to have another concept from Chick-fil-A as well, which I was just surprised that they're testing something in their home city. They very infrequently do that. But this one, they're soon going to have the ability for you to see the status of your meal and screens, like when you arrive. So like if it's ready or not. And they also have like chick kitchens like above that you can like see into. It's like, it actually is like a whole car experience in Atlanta.
Okay.
So I guess they're just trying to cater to the various regions, which is interesting.
It's
smart.
At some point during like the board meeting, someone has to be like, guys, I have a new concept that we've never tried before that's guaranteed to raise profits by 15% at least. Open on fucking Sunday. Like, someone has to say it. This is a for-profit business in a capitalistic society. Like, sitting right there. It's right there.
They're doing a lot of things to not do that, including testing these concepts. But I think it's smart, though, because, like, obviously Atlanta is a car city and New York is a takeout city. So they're, like, trying to cater
to for the
each
location.
Place.
Yes.
And probably in New York, you would save a lot of money. Less space, less staff, less cleaning. It's just, like, make a lot of sense.
And I also find it kind of depressing to eat, because especially in the city, they're very small.
Yeah.
So I don't like that, like, greasy scent kind of, like, on my skin while I'm eating it.
I agree. It sounds gross.
Yeah,
as I said,
great.
I've never been inside Chick-fil-A, so I can't speak to the experience.
Yes.
That sounds really gross. Okay, moving on. More fast food news. McDonald's, they're running it back with Cosmic. 2 and 3 locations. Locations 2 and 3 are coming in Texas. I guess it's a hit.
Is it?
I don't know. There's only one in Illinois.
McDonald's opened a third Cosmic, and we're calling it a hit?
Well, it's third pretty quickly. I have to assume it's like doing okay in Illinois. I don't know. They want to test it further.
Ooh, here's a good question for you. How far would you drive where 1 minute more is too much?
To a Cosmic?
To get a Cosmic experience.
I think 76 minutes is too much. 75, I'm interested.
I was at 90.
Yeah.
91, I'm out. 90, I'm in.
Because I'm like, I would take the subway for 75 minutes and not really complain. But if it's more than that, I'd be like, nah, I'm not doing it. So that's like my length of
story,
like commute.
Do it for the vibe. I just want to feel what it's like. But I would do that. But once it gets to 91 minutes, like once Waze was like, up 91, I'd be like, oh, I'm out,
no,
turn around.
It's too far.
No chance.
It's really just too far.
There's also something about driving past like 45 McDonald's to get to a special McDonald's, which is kind of like against my ethos.
Especially when you probably don't even want the like sugary drinks. You're just like,
yeah, good point. Yeah, the menu didn't even seem that appealing.
What's Cosmic have to offer you? Not much.
We'll see how Cosmic does. Do you think Cosmic will be here to stay? I'm saying no.
No.
I don't think so either.
But maybe it'll be like a regional thing. Like, maybe that's the future of fast food. It's like it's more catered to each individual place.
I like that.
I mean, it would make sense, right? Save some money.
It does.
More McDonald's news.
This is big. People have talked to me about this.
Really?
Yeah, this is a big discussion at work today. This is like, this can kind of like cut through.
Well, Krispy Kreme is coming to McDonald's, and apparently the people at Jacoby's work are really excited.
Yeah, people are like, hey, did you hear? McDonald's is serving Krispy Kreme? I was like, I did.
What I found really interesting is that apparently Krispy Kreme is planning on delivering the donuts every morning to McDonald's.
That I was curious about this as well.
That just seems really hard.
That's not the part I'm concerned about. Because one of the things, when Krispy Kreme really hit the scene, I want to call it like 16, 17 years ago.
I think more.
Really?
I think like 25.
I think
it's like when it spread outside of Atlanta.
Yeah. And Krispy Kreme's obviously been in like that region for a long time, but it became sort of like national at a certain point. And one of the big like selling points was if the lights are on, the donuts are fresh. They had like an indicator of if the donut's being fresh. And I remember one of my first Krispy Kreme experiences, the lights were on and I went in there and the donut was hot and it just melted right in my mouth.
A really good Krispy Kreme is really good.
It absolutely disintegrated into my mouth.
Delicious.
And that's one of like, and that was sort of my peak Krispy Kreme experience. It was very early on in my Krispy Kreme relationship. And since then, this relationship has fizzled a bit. We need to really spice this relationship up a bit.
Well, I think of it as like a gas station brand now, where I'm like, you know, going into the convenience store and they have like a Krispy Kreme like package item.
Yeah.
But like a fresh Krispy Kreme, I have room for that in my life.
Yes. And that is one of my problems, that they're going to deliver them in the morning.
Right.
And they're like, we're going to sell them throughout the day. It's like, okay, but if I go in there at 4:30, I know for a fact those things have been sitting on that shelf for hours and hours and hours. I'm not going to get that fresh Krispy Kreme experience.
Great point. They should discount it after a certain hour.
I like this. Smart pricing.
Yeah. It's like, you know, bakeries at the end of the day try to get rid of stuff. So they should just do that.
They should do that.
I'm interested that people are like excited about this. I mean, I haven't really thought about Krispy Kreme as like a donut purveyor in a long time. But like I said, I would be interested
in this.
What
else do you think of Krispy Kreme as besides a donut purveyor?
Like similar to like Hostess, because it's like always packaged.
Oh, okay. So question for you, I found interesting about this. They wanted to pick their three most like sort of like, you know, crowd pleasing varieties.
Yes.
And do you remember the three?
Yes. It's the regular glaze.
Yes. That to me is like the only donut that Krispy Kreme makes.
Yes. The glaze with chocolate and sprinkles on top. Right.
Chocolate iced with sprinkles donut, yeah.
And then the chocolate iced with the cream on
cream
the inside.
Cream-filled donut, yeah, which is like a Boston cream type of thing.
But it's not custard, it's whipped cream.
Oh, good point.
Yeah.
Very good point.
That's the, because it's a signature crispy
cream
thing.
Yeah.
Because, Boston cream is a whole different experience.
Yes.
I think those three make sense. That's what I think of as a crispy
cream
donut.
Yeah, they do make a lot of sense.
Yeah. Did you have a different one that you're like, why did they leave this out?
I would like a chocolate version, like a chocolate donut.
Not their thing, though.
I guess, or like a strawberry or something that's a little, it seemed to be just like three variations of the same donut.
I think that's because like,
that's what we're doing.
That's like what they're known for. It's like,
you want to get freaky, go to a Krispy Kreme.
Yeah. Or like go to a Dunkin' Donuts or something.
But I also think like from a, like a strictly like financial business standpoint, if I was the current or former CFO of Krispy Kreme, I'd be so excited about this.
I mean, it seems like they are.
From an operation standpoint, nightmare. But this is going to up revenue. Like, I don't know. They said it's going to be like Krispy Kreme will be like twice as available to the public. I'm assuming they mean domestically, which is a huge thing for a company.
Yes, it's completely insane. The stats on like how much more there would be is completely crazy. I said it'll be more than double points of access for Krispy Kreme by the end of 2026.
Yeah, somewhere the COO of Krispy Kreme is like, this sucks. The CFO is like, I'm going to get a raise.
We should have done this last week. I wish we had known, because we could have given people the heads up. They could have gotten a free Krispy Kreme this week.
I saw that.
Damn it. We fucked up.
Fuck.
All right. Let's move on to our next story.
Happy Sunday. I'm making a Sunday sexy water because I need a little midday pick me up. We're moving slow. So I thought, let's do it together.
This is a TikTok trend. It's called sexy water. It is from basically the creator, this woman, Kelly Grace May, who was on the podcast, The Skinny Confidential. Have you heard of that?
No.
It's like Big with Women. The host is this woman, Lauren Bostic. And anyway, she was talking about sexy water and how to make water really desirable in the morning. And Jacoby, how do you do that?
How do I do it personally?
No, what's her recommendation?
Her recommendation is, it's insane.
It's crazy.
It's honestly like, I cook dinner like twice a week and I do not use this many ingredients in dinner, let alone water.
Also, at the end of the video, she's like, sexy water can literally just be water, ice, and lemon. Drink your water is the point.
So, I guess, but the videos that I saw two of them, there was electrolyte packets, there was herbs, there's things I've literally never heard of going in there. She had like a dropper, was putting stuff in there. I was like, and then she squeezed, she's like, oh, just take a whole lemon and squeeze it in there. I'm like,
gross.
This is a lot of prep and work and also cleaning.
It's just like, to me, pathetic. Just drink water.
Just drink water.
Or like, there's simpler ways to jazz it up if you're not into it. Like, for example, have iced tea or have like an herbal tea. Like, she's basically describing tea without saying tea leaves of like all the different shit you can put in water.
Yeah, exactly. And that's like, you know, I'm a big like electrolyte packet person. Of course, we've discussed this. That is one step, no cleaning, throw it, the packet in the trash, move on with your life. The video is like 70 seconds and there's a lot of editing. This is like a 4 or 5 minute process. Like, if this was like a New York Times recipe, it would be like, ingredients, and it'd be like a long list. It'd be like prep time, 5 minutes. Then it'd be like result, water. It's like, really?
It's just like so incredibly dumb. Just drink water and do your best.
And I also was looking at that being like, all right, that packet is approximately $1.25. That one's probably $1.75. That lemon is whatever, 50 cents.
Like, sure.
This becomes a $6 water.
Well, I will say people's water budgets are pretty high in general.
Minutes.
If you buy water, you're spending a lot of water in general.
But this is a lot. This is a lot. Let me just say, it's very, 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 very core. I rejected everything about this concept.
I completely agree.
And especially the name.
It's ridiculous.
It is not sexy.
Just drink water.
You're just putting a bunch of shit in a bottle of water. It's nothing sexy about this whatsoever.
All right. One last story, and it comes to us from Martha Stewart's Instagram. Jacoby, I know you're really enthusiastic about this.
Yes.
What about this lobster stuffed in a chicken on Martha Stewart's Instagram at Maison Barnes? Are you so enthusiastic about it?
Okay. There's a couple of things. Well, I made the mistake of reading the comments, right? Uh-huh. And the internet was absolutely revolted by this thing. If you haven't seen it, I'll do my best to describe it in a podcast format. It is a roasted chicken with lobster claws sticking out where the wings are, the lobster head and legs sticking out sort of where the head would be, and the tail sticking out of the back. And I think what people sort of thought this was like a turducken situation, like lobster and chicken cooked together into one dish. But it's really just a presentation goof.
Sure.
Because there is no combination of lobster and chicken, as far as I can tell, in there. Because when you eat a lobster, the parts that you eat are the legs, if you're a boss, because I always do that. Those are fun to eat. The claws, which are my favorite, and the tail. So those are all separate entities to the chicken itself.
Yeah, they're just like pieced together for the picture.
For the picture. This is like an Instagram version of a lobster and a roasted chicken.
Yeah.
And I just felt like the comments were so... And I ride for Martha Stewart. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I thought that her partnership with Snoop Dogg really took it over the top for me.
Yeah, she's very popular.
Yeah, I like her. I was like, why is the internet coming from Martha Stewart so heavily? And I was like, let me check this out. And I started looking and I was like, this is just someone who had a lobster, like a boiled lobster and a roasted chicken, and someone was in the kitchen being like, let's make this a goof.
Well, I thought you were going to defend her photography because for years people have been making fun of Martha Stewart's food photography because it's so shitty. Like, she never uses portrait mode. She never has good lighting. Like, it's worse than what you or I would do.
She's 82.
Well, I just think she's in on the joke. Like, I just think this is like, she knows exactly what she's doing.
Yes.
And she's been doing it for a while. So this is her strategy and it works because we're talking about
it. And the internet gets mad at her like routinely. And I think the first couple times it was sort of like hurt her feelings or whatever. And now she's like, oh, this is what the internet is.
Yeah. She's like, well, I'm on the people what they want.
They want to get mad.
Swimsuit issue. What are you doing?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
she's doing great.
Exactly.
She gets it. Like, she's too successful and talented to not. So I'm like, okay, it's just very successful stuff.
Yeah.
Good
and
job
also,
by her.
If someone brought me this dish, I'd be like, cool, 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 great. But can you take the lobster part and put it on one plate and the chicken part and put it on another plate just so I don't have to like look at this?
It's just a lot of food in general.
I know you're not into chicken, but like, I don't like the combination of lobster and chicken. Mm. Lobster and steak, fine.
Sure.
Surf and turf, classic. But lobster and chicken for some reason gives me the ick.
Okay. I support you. I'll never serve that to you.
Thank you very much for your support, Julia Lehman.
Let's get into today's taste test. I have a feeling that Mike wanted you, Jacoby, to understand fika, which we discussed recently. which is the Swedish afternoon custom coffee and baked goods.
Right.
And Mike brought us a soft dough bun with cardamom, raisins, almond, and sugar, which is a cloven bun. And that is a Scandinavian pastry. And cardamom bun is like the pastry of fika.
Fika. Well, thank you, Producer Mike, for this. When you first said he wanted to make me understand fika, I was thinking about like RICO and HIPAA and like legal terms. And I was like, what does fika stand for? Because I don't understand it. Did I just violate something?
And then we also have a lemon lavender bar. And the icing on top of this lemon lavender bar is really purple. It's like the purplest icing I've seen outside of like a cake.
One might even call it lavender.
Yeah. They crushed it. I'm going for the cardamom bun first.
Yeah, the cardamom bun, it looks much more appealing. It's got that stickiness on the outside.
Oh, interesting. This is like a bread bun. It's not like, it's a roll. It's not a pastry.
Mm. Yeah.
It was really good though. It's a little perfumey.
It's got like a raisin bread consistency.
Mm-hmm.
It's chewier and denser than you would think. Because when I look at something like this, for those at home, it has like a croissant look, but it doesn't have that airy flakiness in the middle. It's thicker.
It's like you should toast this and put butter on it. It's good.
It's very floral.
Mm-hmm.
Those notes didn't hit me. A little delayed. A little creeper. Very floral.
All right, I'm going for the lavender bar. By the way, these are from Ole & Steen.
Yeah.
Hmm. That's good. Also very floral. Interesting. They're really hitting the herbaceousness hard.
Yeah, if these were soaps, I would understand.
Not an endorsement.
No. But it definitely feels like they taste like something I would put in my bath while it was like, you know, while I was about to get in there.
They taste like a Monet painting to me.
Mmm.
Like the sort of floralness of it.
Mmm.
All right, personal food news.
We're just going to let that slide.
What else do you want to say about it?
I just thought it was poetic and great.
All right, let's move on. Let's stand. One of my office locations is close to an eatery.
We've heard.
And this week, in between, I had like 45 minutes free. I was like, I'm just going to do my grocery shopping at eatery for tonight, like for the next few days. And I went to eatery and I like bought some produce and mm-hmm. I bought like some other things that I need. And then I like brought it back to the office, put it into the refrigerator until I was ready to go home. And upon reflection, I was just like, does anyone regularly grocery shop at Eataly? Because it's such a fucking insane way to buy food. Yes. It's like really hard. I love Eataly, obviously, but it's like really hard to find like what you need. There's no organization, but they also have so many products. And yet it's like a mall. It's like for tourists. So I'm just like, do people actually buy the shelved items there? Or do they just go to waste?
They must just be for display. But it's a lot of like dry goods and such that can just sit there forever, right?
Yeah, but then I did get some Italian sausage there that was cheap. I got half a pound, two links for $6.30, which I thought was
pretty good.
Offset the cost of the blueberries that I bought, which was not cheap.
$7,450.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. But it was like such an unusual grocery shopping experience. But then I had everything I needed to make dinner and have like breakfast the next day. So I was like, okay, this works
for me.
Sounds
great. What'd you make?
I made this Allie Slagle recipe from the New York Times, which is like gnocchi and sausage with Parmesan and peas. It's like a stovetop meal.
Fantastic.
It was really good. I had it for dinner two nights in a row.
That sounds lovely.
It was great. Yeah, I really recommend it. Allie Slagle is the best. Love all her recipes.
Shout out to Allie Slagle.
Your turn.
Mine is similar but different. I was also making dinner for myself, but also my children. So I had to get like stuff for the girls, which was like pasta and rice and beans, whatever. I have to make them each their own thing, whatever. Quincy was, he was an out of the house thing. So I was going to get him a BLT from the diner to eat on the way home.
Yum.
So that left me sort of like out there. And I did something that I've done many times before that I want to ask you and our sort of listeners if this is normal.
Okay.
Sandwich for dinner.
Yes.
That's normal, right?
Yeah.
Because I was eating a sandwich for dinner. I said to myself, like, I do this all the time. But I wonder if other people do this.
Yeah, I think it's normal. Clearly a go-to for you, also getting a BLT for your son.
Yeah, well, that was like, that's just part of the thing.
Sure. I feel like in general, sandwich for dinner is a real diner thing. Like, that's kind of what, you know, you get a tuna melt or a BLT or a grilled cheese, whatever. But I think that's totally normal and delicious.
Yeah, mine was salami, lettuce, cheese, onions.
Great.
Lots of Dijon mustard, a little bit of mayo.
That sounds fantastic.
Pepper.
Okay, great.
It was great. Sandwich for dinner. I just wanted to make sure that it was normal.
You're so normal, Jacoby.
That was normal.
That's normal.
Okay.
All right. Let's get into our listener food news. Holly from New Jersey.
Hi, Juliet. And hi, Jacoby. My name is Holly. I'm from New Jersey. Big fan. And I just love your chemistry. It's just a little joy in my life in a hectic and stressful schedule. So thank you. I had a question for you both. So I hear a lot on the podcast about like places you guys go grab lunch or you go out to eat. I know you guys have busy lives and all that, but I'm just wondering when you cook at home, like a night, when your family's at home, and regular weeknight, like what are you cooking? What's in the rotation? I feel like my family makes like one of 10 things and then we just do that over and over and over again, always looking for new ideas. So just wondering what your regular weeknight meals look like. Thanks
wow.
so much.
It's like she knew about your personal food news, Jacoby.
Yeah. Well, outside of sandwiches for dinner, I think that Holly is not alone in that you have sort of these 10 staples.
Yes.
And then once in a while you venture outside of that and it's not as good and you just go back to what you're
familiar
with.
And you're
like, oh,
I'm not actually a good cook. I just know how to make 10 things.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think Holly is like alone in this because that's very much my experience as well.
I go hard on one pot, like dishes on the stovetop, which is what I just described, and also one pan in the like roasting vegetables in the oven. And like just try to keep to your also your point before but about the water, as little cleaning as possible.
Yeah,
yes, as few dishes
that is,
as
that
possible.
That is important because I always find because we have this isn't abnormal either. Like if I cook, then you do the dishes.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that when you don't have to worry about doing the dishes, you end up using a lot more shit. And by you, I mean my fucking wife named Joey Jacoby.
I just hate like also the mess being around me while I'm cooking.
Yes.
So I just want to keep it as simple as possible. So I do a lot of roast vegetables, a lot of farro. Apparently I do gnocchi and sausage.
Yes.
But I can't recommend enough the book I Dream of Dinner So You Don't Have To by Ali Slagle. It has so many great weeknight recipes.
I'm going to go do that.
It's a great, great book.
I'm just going to rattle off a few for Holly because there's some that are like kid friendly and there's some that are not.
Mm.
So like a lot of kid friendly stuff is like a bolognese for spag bowl, which we, you know, familiar with.
Sure.
And then we have taco night, which is always a winner. Chicken parm or chicken cutlets. Mm. Those always work. Those are always good. Burgers. I've been doing smash burgers lately because we've all seen those internet videos of smash burgers.
Sure.
Is that part of your algorithm?
No, I don't have food videos. I don't go to Reels and like just scroll.
Oh no, what I do is I speak to Instagram through my search page.
Mm.
So I'll go to my search page and say, I want more food. So I click on all the food stuff.
Right. I don't do that.
Yeah. I kind of like curate
my
thing, but it always ends up with like a lot of women in bikinis. I'm trying to get that out of the system. but my eye is drawn. What can I do? So we do that. We do roasted chicken is always a good one. That's more of my wife's thing. Like she'll do a whole chicken, we'll chop it up and be good. And soups, you know, I love soups.
We'll
do some of those. Chili, we had that this week. Chili's good. One thing I love about chili, Holly, is you can always freak it and tweak it. You know what I mean? Like it's not like spag bowl, you can do a bunch of different ways, but you kind of doing the same all the time. But chili, I like to like really do differently every time.
What kind of meat in your chili?
Turkey, usually ground turkey. Because I find that ground beef is much better for obviously like burgers. But as you notice the difference, but I feel like in a chili environment, you won't notice the difference between turkey and beef that much. So might as well go turkey.
I very infrequently cook meat at home. In fact, the sausage purchase was very rare. I don't usually do that.
We'll do one thing that me and Quincy love to do is sausage and peppers and onions and sausage, obviously. Mm. But then we'll get some marinara and some like bread or like a bun. And then we'll put some provolone on top of that, pop it in the oven.
Yum.
And just make like little, I don't know
Sounds
what to call
great.
Them. Like little,
it's like a hero.
You know, yeah, like little heroes at home. Yeah.
Love it. Thanks for the question, Holly. We loved it. Thanks to our producer, Mike, for producing this episode. And we'll be back next week.